The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, so, I mean, you may or may not have noticed prior to today that we're in that section of the season where we get the Gospel of John, okay? And then this very, very typical Johannine passage, right? This from John, a lot of he and me and him and it's okay. We're getting there. It's hard to get traction in these kinds of scenes. And there's more than enough going on. Okay, there are any number of sections of the gospel that really warrant our attention. Of course, we're following on from the curing of the crippled man from yesterday. Okay, so Jesus is doing that. He's then confronted, just as the man is, for this breaking of the Sabbath. Yeah, and you go, oh, the breaking of the Sabbath. Okay, these little rules that these guys are keep, whatever, right? But we went through that. Significant. It's actually significant that he was commanding the man to break the Sabbath, and then the response that that Jesus gives to their inquiries. I mean, it's more than that. Their heated inquiries about the things, or their accusations about the things. My Father is at work until now, so I am at work, right? This is his response to them. So who is breaking the Sabbath? Who's commanding someone to break the Sabbath? Yeah, of course, Jesus is saying it. It's coming right from his Father, okay? The same Father, God, who gave the law, and who has insisted on the Sabbath, and you know every prophet that has come along since the time of the commandments has insisted on the Sabbath and the Sabbaths. You see, the Sabbaths. Why is it like the Sabbath says like the natural break in human activity that provides a reset so that they can live into the vocation that they have instead of busying them about other things. Right, the prophets insist on the Sabbaths, and here Jesus is saying that God himself is directing the breaking of the Sabbath. Okay, now that really is radical, right? That really is radical. I do the abridged version. You know, living 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, that's pretty easy for us actually, because whatever Jesus says goes. Okay, I'm in that space anyway, so whatever. Now, we have to try to get clear. We have to discern well what Jesus is saying. Okay, so don't just think the voices in your head are the voices of Jesus, okay? If you have the voices in your head, Let's come to me. We'll talk about how to figure out what the voice of Jesus sounds like, okay? But whatever Jesus says goes. We're okay. We're okay with that. Okay. He's moving on. He's saying that he is apprenticing under the Father, right, in the sense that he is copying what the Father is doing. And what is the Father doing? What is the Father will to do? Well, as the good God of a good creation, he does not sit idly by and does not want to sit idly by as his image-bearing animals fall into disfigurement and his creation as a result falls into decay and even disrepair. So he wants to do something about it. Now there's a lot of resurrection talk in this passage. The almost common understanding, although the details and the like often differ, but around roughly contemporaneous with Jesus, it's a pretty popular idea to hold on to the resurrection. Okay, there were camps, but the resurrection was a pretty well-known reality. What it is, and you get some of that, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation. Right, we get this idea that okay, there is widespread idolatry and injustice in the world, and this is not the way that God wants things to be. And at least as a last resort, but embodying totally this sense of God as the good God who has made his creation to be good, and has man situated in such manner that he plays this indispensable role in the whole thing, we're then pushing into this reality of resurrection where every evil will be dealt with, every injustice will be undone, right? And the flourishing then of the life of holiness and justice will be the possession of those who rise from the dead and live into the resurrection of the living. Now that's an end of the age reality. Yeah, not necessarily an end of the world reality, but the end of an age or an end of a period of time reality. God is going to do that at some time in the future. And it's not like the way that we think of it usually, like this kind of end of worlds type stuff. It's that the work of restoration will be accomplished, at the end of this age. Okay, so you have that here. What Jesus is saying is twofold. Yeah, one is that reality, judgment, okay, the judgment of evil, the naming and shaming of all evil and wickedness, the entrenched idolatry and the injustice that comes from that, all of that, namely the promise of the resurrection, is happening now in the person of the Son and in his work. Okay, so he's bringing the age to come into the present in his work, in his ministry. And so what does he say? For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. So now we have a different paradigm, perhaps, to look at Jesus and his mission, his action, and the rest. It's not that he's on the scene to kind of tinker around the edges of the thing. He's not okay, a little bit over here, a little bit over there. No, he is bringing people from death to life. Yet the power of the resurrection is what is being unleashed in the ministry of Jesus. And then you see how significant it is to either say yes or no to this reality. Right, you say yes or no to this reality. This is where judgment is coming. Because we either decide for the Son and the work of the Son, who is doing the death to life thing, or we pick something else. And picking something else is condemnation. Because without the Son, we live in death. Yeah, we are dead without the Son. So we decide for the Son or for something else. We want to decide for the Son. This is the judgment that God is bringing to bear here and now in anticipation and, in fact, pointing towards and as a participation in the age to come. So think of the age to come as, oh, yeah, well, I want to get there. Of course, I want to get there. We get there now. We have to get there now. Right, start learning the language of the age to come here and now. Okay, so, and more and more, right? We see, of course, this is all pointing towards the reality that Jesus himself, his ministry comes to something of a climax in the raising of Lazarus, right? That doesn't go over too well for anyone, right? It's like, at that point, okay, we're definitely going to kill this guy, right? We're definitely going to kill this guy. We can't control him at this point. He's raising the dead, right? And then we'll kill Lazarus as well because, of course, he's evidence that Jesus raised him from the dead. So it's like the whole thing doesn't go as well as we would otherwise think it would, right? But that's the climax of his ministry. But of course, the climax of the narrative is that Jesus himself will go to his death, and then he'll rise from the dead, not to die again like Lazarus, but having made his way through death, he now lives, and evermore, and it, you know, in more personal ways, in ways that transcend the bounds of time and space, he is now able to continue this great work of God, which is to give life to whomever he wishes. And he does it today in us. Yeah, he does it today in us. He is again breathing his spirit in us. He's bringing us from death to life. We have to, you know, in our own way, we have to come before God in praise of him. In humility, we're turning over our hearts and our lives to him. We want to be honest with him. If we can't be honest we struggle to be honest with ourselves. It's one of the most difficult things in the world is to be honest with ourselves. We try to be honest with God. You know that his love is so strong for us as to send his son, right? He'll give himself to the ends for us. Okay. So can we be honest with him? Can we come before him in humility and vulnerability and ask him to show us, you know, what in us needs to be killed off, right? What needs to die in us today? How do we start making our way through death to life with Jesus? And then, of course, we're waiting for the breath of his spirit. Yeah, and he is eager to breathe himself out for us. So we say, okay, we're going from death to life. We're being buried with a son in a death like his, and we're rising to new life that is lived totally for God and his purposes. Then he has to show us the way, right? He's breathing his own life of love into us. We know that it's love. We know that it's charity. We know that our lives are to become more and more worthy reflections of God's own radical generosity, right? But he has to show us the way. And he is here and now. We're dedicating ourselves to him. He's breathing his spirit into us. He's feeding us with his body and blood. He's making us to be his own body so that we can also be about this work of judgment, right? We can be about this work of love bringing and enacting judgment to the world. We can be about his work of mercy and forgiving love, and we can really carry his mission to every corner of creation, even that corner of creation that he's entrusting today to our care.